Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
I hope everyone has recovered from Christmas and is looking forward to taking the decorations down and getting their homes back to normal again. I am always grateful for the return to normality, but I do miss the twinkle and sparkle that preparing for Christmas brings. I am sure there are people who hate the choosing, wrapping, and giving of presents, but I am not one of those people. I absolutely love it, if only my finances allow me to be as generous and as thoughtful as I would like to be. My mum was absolutely amazing. She was honestly the best person I have ever known. She wasn't perfect though, and her generosity, coupled with a vitamin B12 deficiency, meant that there were many years where I was presented with an additional Christmas present, days, weeks, or even months after the big day, when she had stumbled across it in a safe hiding place. These presents were often small, stocking filler type presents, but the joy I had opening them was reflected and multiplied in the joy that my mum had on her face. I once asked her if she deliberately hid some of my presents for a later time, but she insisted that it was just because I was so easy to buy for and she bought too many to keep track of. I didn't question it at the time, but upon finding a notebook filled with the lists of everything she had ever bought our family for Christmas, I suspect that it was the joy of giving and receiving rather than forgetfulness. A family tradition that I'm going to share with you is a present from the tree. The Saturday after Christmas was the annual family party at my nan's house. My mum, her two brothers and two sisters would bring partners and children to this party, and they were the highlight of my year. Being the eldest of 13 grandchildren, I can say that my nan's house was full of people, food, and fun. Throughout the evening, Nan would gather everyone back together to have a present from the tree. And I need 12 volunteers who are going to get a present. So Chris is going to help me with the selection, because if I could have given you all one, I would. They're all beautifully wrapped. We need some adults as well. Yeah. I think that some of these gifts are not going to hit as hard with the kids as they will with the adults, unfortunately. We need some adults. Thanks,
I'm going to take one from here. I'm looking at people's faces. Who looks more embarrassed by this? Elizabeth, would you come on? Let me think. On this side, I'm looking at yours.
Right.
Do you want to come? You don't have to.
I've never known so many people reluctant to get a present. Okay, one, two, three. Are we done? Okay.
I can't count. So
right. We're going to give them out. We're going to see how many people we have got presents for. So I can't remember what these are. No. I cannot remember. There we go. Chris, you could hand some out. I've taken a handful. So let's have... I cannot remember what they are. Okay. Right, so now you need to open them and show everyone what you've got. Hold them up so everyone can see. So we've got some lovely toilet paper for Joanna. We've got a nail care kit for Summer. That's excellent, because Summer's always got beautiful nails. What are they? Face masks. You don't need them, but, you know, always good. Mindfulness for Heather. Oh, fuzzy felt for... and we've got a lovely jewellery set. Lovely twinkly jewellery set. Meccano. Very cool. Super cool. Oh. I hope you enjoy sleeping, because that's going to help you for sure. And a beautiful pink watch. Who doesn't need a beautiful pink watch? Excellent. Fabulous. They are yours to keep or re-gift. I don't mind. Just a token of my appreciation for you. Can we give our volunteers a clap, please? Thank you. If you give your paper to Chris. Right. So the gifts, the presents that's for you, sweetie, is a jigsaw puzzle. The presents from the tree might be strange, fabulous, or confusing, but I can tell you the most coveted was the toilet roll. This was back in the days before Sunday trading and supplies were always running low. How can something so practical and ordinary be prized among all others? I don't know. I've had Christmases where I've received three of the same travel spirograph set, each of which were met with squeals of delight, only to be outed by my little brother, who couldn't understand why I was pretending that I didn't already have one at home. I've had Christmases where I've received gifts that felt quite hurtful, and the presents that had been given bear no connection to me or my interests. I felt confused and then angry with myself for being so ungrateful, but I realised what I was responding to. It was the lack of thought. Being given a gift because somebody felt that they had to, and that that would do, rather than something carefully selected and lovingly given. Joseph and Mary, I am sure, would have felt a whole range of emotions when faced with the gifts of the Magi. Being good Jewish people, they would have grown up with the knowledge of Scripture and understanding of the prophecies of the coming Messiah. Other readings for today include Psalm 72, verse 10, where it is said, "May the kings of Tarshish and the distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts." They would have been aware of the prophecies of Isaiah, another of our possible readings for today. Chapter 60, verse 6, where he said, "Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord." I wondered, when I was putting this talk together, where on earth Sheba was. I'm not massively confident with geography, so I turned to the trusty old internet, who informed me that there had been some discussion over the actual location of Sheba, but it would most likely have been in what we now know as Yemen, but that it may have extended into parts of North Arabia and the Horn of Africa, in modern-day Ethiopia. You may know that I am a primary teacher, but I'm also the curriculum lead for science. So I've been using a science advent calendar to help mark the days leading up to Christmas. One of the days that captivated me and the children in my class was the 9th of December, where we were asked what the gifts were that were presented to Jesus. Being a good Church of England school, they got the answer right, which is fabulous. We learnt about the process by which frankincense and myrrh were collected from trees in Africa. Cuts were made in the trees, and the sticky sap that oozes out of them to heal the tree is gathered. These trees are found in North Arabia and the Horn of Africa, which I now know is where people think Sheba might have been. Frankincense is a milky white resin derived from Boswellia trees, which are remarkable for their ability to grow in unforgiving conditions. In fact, these trees have been known to grow out of solid rock. Myrrh is a reddish resin extracted from comephora trees. The resin granules collected from the trees are then sorted and graded. This process is still done by hand and is therefore expensive. The incense is transported from its origin along the incense trail by herds of camels. Fun fact, it is estimated that the Roman Catholic Church alone still uses an estimated 50 metric tons of frankincense a year. These three gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh were the standard gifts to be presented to honour a king or deity in the ancient world, which is why the Magi's gifts show us that Jesus was a king, and Emmanuel, God with us. Gold represents Jesus' kingship, frankincense is a symbol of his priestly role, and myrrh foreshadowed his death as it was used in embalming. When I was pregnant with our eldest son, the women of the church I grew up in threw me a baby shower. It was a very strange time for me, as my mum had died 18 months before I fell pregnant, and I felt her loss deeply. I was surrounded by women who had known me for most of my life, and they showered me with gifts, all very much loved and treasured, because they represented much more than lots of useful baby stuff. They were tokens of the fact that I wasn't alone. I might not have had my own mother, but I had a whole church full of women who loved me and my child. These gifts might not have been gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but they were just as precious. I think that when Mary and Joseph received these gifts, heavily weighted with scripture, prophecy, and foreshadowing, they would also have been received as a symbol of not being alone. The responsibility to raise Jesus was huge. I can only speculate what the reaction to Mary's pregnancy would have been. And Herod's response to Jesus' birth was to kill innocent babies. This was not an easy task that they had been offered. Yes, they had some degree of choice that came with it. But as one of my previous vicars said to me, we only know what we know. We don't know what we don't know yet. These gifts confirmed what had been told, and I wonder if they might have validated the difficulties that the couple had already faced together. I invite you all to think about a small gift or act of kindness that you can give that brings joy to another. It's not the stuff we want. It's the thought, time, and love that is put into selecting the gift. Be grateful for every gift you receive, strange, wanted, or unwanted. because we never know if it is the best gift or the last gift we may ever give to a person until we give it.